Now, pay attention to this next conversation on Sunday Extra because we are talking about daydreaming. A new research suggesting that it might help you make better decisions at work and maybe even have an epiphany at work. Professor Hannes Leroy is director of the Erasmus Center for Leadership. Professor Leroy, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Julian. And you say pay attention or maybe don't pay attention.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It's hard to know which is the best scientific option. Let's try and find out. Your study focused, I believe, on a particular type of daydreaming that you call problem-solving daydreaming. So what is that and how is it different from non-problem-solving daydreaming?
Well, this is why I was joking about don't pay attention, right? Sometimes we can be so engulfed in a task and put our full attention to it. And at other points in time, we can kind of disconnect from the task, intentionally or unintentionally, right? Our mind starts to wander off towards other things, other topics. Now, that can be wholly unproductive when it goes to the next Netflix special or it goes to your phone or all these other things that grab attention. But sometimes it's also good to have your mind wander to these unresolved tensions. I always say we all walk around with a big backpack of stuff that we haven't fully processed. And we keep putting things in. And so when you find or create moments that let your mind go off task, what it does, it goes back to this backpack and it starts to put things together to see if it can actually resolve some of these things. What our study is about is that especially this problem-solving daydreaming, not just daydreaming for daydreaming's purposes, but where you're taking time off to get some of this unresolved things resolved again, that's really helpful. That can give you epiphanies and give you more purpose in life.
That's really interesting. I believe you've also written about an idea you call a third place, a sort of space between work and home where genuine reflection and creativity can happen. Where is the third place?
It can be wherever it is that you want it to be, right? First place for most people is home. Second place for most people is work. And unfortunately, we spend a lot of time there. Third place is this place where you can press pause, where you can actually take a step back and think about, wait a minute, what have I been doing this past week or this past month or these past years? Where is all of this headed? Am I still on the track that I want to be on or am I on a track that others put me on? I think we used to have more institutional ways of daydreaming, whether it's sitting your ass in church or whatever you believe in or at a family dinner, the mind would wander. But we get less and less of that. And so I've been a fan of this notion of the third place, as you know, or what I call retreats. Retreating is, in a military term, not fighting the battle. Going back, taking care of your wounded, and re-strategizing to then fight and live to fight another day. And so this strategically retreating, distancing yourself from the everyday challenges that you have to make, I think people can build that in their lives. And it doesn't have to be big things. It can be through exercise, but maybe then exercise without the headphones on, but let the mind wander, right? Maybe you're not annoyed with the train being late or the bus being late that day, or you're stuck in traffic, but there's an opportunity to let the mind wander. And so there are all these opportunities that present themselves in life. And we constantly try to fill them in with music, with phones, with other things. But actually, these are our mind's way of like healing itself, of like feeling whole again, to make sure that all the unresolved shit that we've got going on, that we can piece it together.
And you often hear these stories about sort of inspiration striking in the weirdest of places, whether it's in the shower or while you're doing something else, not actually focused on work. By definition, are you in the third place when that happens?
Often those examples that you mention are like because they catch people by surprise. Mm. That was probably unintentional. They were probably just doing something else. Maybe they were running or in the shower, right? Their brain was otherwise occupied and then wandered back to those problems that they still needed to solve. The third place is the more intentional version of that, uh-huh. Where you create moments. With the third place, we refer to intentionally creating the space where things like that can happen.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Professor Hannes Leroy about daydreaming and about the study he co-authored, which is called Gaining Career Purpose Through Lightning Bolts, which is a great title, Hannes. Let's talk about the study a little bit more. What exactly did you do in the study to get down to this idea of problem solving, daydreaming, and what the benefits of it are?
One of the core things that we were interested in is this notion of epiphanies, right? Who gets these aha moments that when you get them can really shift one's purpose in life, one's purpose in career. And one of the things we noticed is that people who engage in daydream problem solving, who let their mind wander in a productive way, that they gain more of these epiphanies. We brought people into circumstances that are more likely to generate these epiphanies. Let's say, for example, a good leadership development workshop, right? That asks the right questions and the right reflective exercise, or a good executive coach. Both can trigger daydream problem solvers in the right conditions to get that aha in their head and then afterwards have a significant impact on their career.
So what you found is that presumably there are ways that you can actually, I think you described it as triggering those moments a little bit more. Do you have to be a daydreaming problem solver to begin with for those triggers to work?
Our study suggests yes. I'm not saying epiphanies are just the privy of these daydream problem solvers, but it's those people who have this backpack and they're trying to solve things that are more likely to generate these epiphanies and have an impact on their purpose as a result.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what you mean by epiphanies? Because I suppose in one sense, there's an assumption that the lightning bolt moment is in fact a moment of insight and direction that you should follow. Is that always true?
True. You may have an aha moment and decide to put it in the freezer for 4 years until you actually get the time and space to act on it. The likelihood, however, that this aha moment is not true for you is limited. Why? Because you're the source of it. Like they say, aha moment or bolts of lightning, it's not something external. There's no divine spirit that whispered in your ear this idea. This is you solving things for yourself, right? You taking the time and space to look in that big backpack of yours and seeing if you can actually piece things together in a way that will make you either more happy or more productive or more successful. So if you get an epiphany that doesn't ring true at all, and maybe it wasn't an epiphany.
Fair enough. It's interesting that you're focusing on this idea of creating intentionally moments where you can be in that third place. And I think you mentioned earlier as well, looking at Netflix or going to your phones. I think we're all these days perhaps concerned about what impact using smartphones and things like that has on us. If you've got a smartphone and you're always on your devices, do you daydream less?
Yeah, the smartphone and all the apps and thing on it, it captures your attention, right? It's designed to keep you addicted and focused on the phone. So yeah, there's not a lot of mind wandering going there, even when we go running, right? Running could be a great time for mind wandering to happen if you're one of those persons who can do these two things simultaneously. But then what we do is we put headphones on, we put music in there, and then the music distracts it, or we're on a call. The idea really is to let the mind wander. Let it go places. Your mind will naturally just kind of wander off to, hey, yo, oh, remember this? Oh, yeah, I guess I was talking to my mother-in-law, and I guess I'm angry at my mother-in-law. Huh, what is there? Huh. And then you start to address it and solve it. And as you do that, you start to get more whole because all these unresolved things start to get kind of click together.
I assume for the sake of your mother-in-law that that's a purely hypothetical example.
My mother-in-law is amazing. For some reason, when I teach about this stuff, the mother-in-law example always rings true for participants. So there's some nerve that I'm touching there, but my mother-in-law is particularly, yeah, I have nothing to complain.
That's good to hear. I was wondering also, Hannes, what's the relationship between daydreaming on the one hand, and another concept that we hear a lot about these days, which is mindfulness?
I think like mindfulness is mind wandering on crack. Bear with me. When I said like we have this backpack, there's a lot of unresolved issues. And so what we do is we let the mind wander and it naturally goes back to this backpack, right? When we give it time and space. But that's just creating that third place and unintentionally, you might just wander back there. Mindfulness is doing that and perhaps ironically getting there faster, which is kind of opposite to the notion of mindfulness and slowing down. Because you are using your brain to say like, okay, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to check in with my backpack. And then maybe your thoughts or your feelings do go to your mother-in-law. And then mindfulness would teach you like, okay, now observe what's happening there. Be happy or be content with what presents itself in that moment. And so what you see in experienced meditators is that they build better connections to their backpack over time. So ironically, in this fast-paced world that we have, if you don't have a lot of time to go running for 3 hours to get your shit sorted, or you don't have time to go walking on the beach for 4 hours, what you do have is 10 minutes every morning. Well, then meditation might actually get you there faster.
Lots of food for conscious and unconscious thought, Hannah. It's just finally, I think sitting behind this concept, there is that idea of people who are perhaps predisposed to a certain type of daydreaming. What would you say to someone who hears this conversation and thinks, well, I don't really daydream that much. Oh, maybe I should daydream more. How am I going to make myself daydream? What if you're not in that natural group of people who have the proclivity for problem-solving daydreaming?
I think we all have the possibility to daydream. I have two little daughters and I see it in my daughters. They, their eyes and their minds can completely wander off. And that's not just because they're my kids. I see it in other kids as well. I think if we plan every moment of our agenda from beginning to end, constantly on our phone, then yeah, it's definitely not going to happen. So we go back to this third place. If you cultivate that more, if you create that more, there's more likelihood that there's going to be productive daydreaming to follow. So be intentional about it, is I guess what I'm saying.
Professor Hannes Leroy, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Hannes is the director of the Erasmus Center for Leadership, and the study that he co-authored is called Gaining Career Purpose Through Lightning Bolts, and it was published in the Journal of Management.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.